Good evening. Thank you all for coming back tonight. I was talking to earlier, and I told them when I used to wrestle in high school, I would get nervous like I am right now. But I was able, because I wrestled a different way, I was able to go back in a hallway, and I would pace back and forth like this for a half hour. Then I would come out and wrestle, but it was just me and that guy. Then once I started, I was okay. But I can't do that here because I got to come out and I got to talk to you. So I'm still a little nervous until I get going. But I guess it's good that I still get nervous because I don't ever want to take for granted what God has called me to do, and that is preach His word out of His Bible. And I don't want to mess up the message that He gave me to give to you. That's what I get nervous about. I don't get nervous about talking to you because I know all of you. But it's just I don't want to mess up God's word. But anyways, today I want to talk to you about a couple things about boldness and mystery. And I asked Austin to come up and give me a hand here. And he's a little nervous too right now, but I told him it'll be okay. Come on up, Austin, and bring your Rubik's Cube. Now I want to read this definition of mystery. Mystery is something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain. Give me your Rubik's Cube. To me, that is this. For me, this is a mystery of how you get that. But to him, just going to mess up a couple, he can do this blindfolded, backwards, behind his back, quickly. Watch him. Go ahead. How many of you can do the Rubik's Cube? Can anyone else do the Rubik's Cube here? Jordan. Yeah, exactly. I can do it, but I can't get all the colors. I can get one side, and that's about it. See, he's not even sweating. I messed it up pretty good. He's just nervous, you see. Don't be nervous, we're all watching. Close your eyes, pretend we're not here. Okay, see how fast he did that? Okay, so could you explain to me how to do that? It would take many hours. Thank you. But I want you to remember what a mystery is. And to me, a Rubik's Cube is a mystery. I have no idea how he did that. I have no idea how to do it. Rubik's Cubes came out when I was younger, and I messed around with it. And like I said, I could get one side, and that was it. He came to class one day, and he even did it. What did you do to make it go faster? He uses his, and he can use his pinkies down here and his fingers up here, and he can do that thing fast. But I want to talk to you tonight about a mystery. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You'll all stand when you get there. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 18. The title of my message tonight is Speak Boldly. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 18. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord, and I do pray that you'll speak through me tonight, Lord. I pray that you'll give me boldness to speak, Lord. Lord, I know you gave me this message a while ago to preach, Lord, and I just pray that I'll be able to do that, Lord, and glorify you and glorify your name, Lord. I pray you'll be with me tonight. Be with us all here, Lord. I pray that you'll prepare the hearts of the people, Lord, so they'll take what they hear and apply it to their life. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I already told you the definition of mystery is something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain. The definition of boldly is not hesitating or fearful in the face of actual or possible danger or rebuff. Now, a lot of people misinterpret speaking boldly to speaking loudly. You can speak loudly and not be speaking boldly. You can, and some people don't have a problem speaking boldly. People can speak boldly, and I don't. Certain things I can speak boldly about. Most men can speak boldly about football and basketball and sports, and we have no problem speaking boldly. We don't hesitate when we have an opinion that Michigan stinks. Or Brother Dave will say, no, Ohio State stinks. We don't have a problem being boldly about that. We don't have a problem speaking, and some people don't have a problem speaking boldly about anything. Some people do. But they do. Some people have a problem speaking boldly about the things that they ought to. As Paul prayed, he says that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What do we speak boldly about? A lot of times we'll speak boldly about somebody, and that's usually not in a good way. We'll speak boldly about them behind closed doors. We'll speak boldly about the preacher in a bad way to people. We have no problem speaking boldly about that. We speak boldly about people that we don't like, things that they do that we don't like, the way the service goes. Sometimes we speak boldly. I don't like the way that service went. I don't know why he had that kid up there doing Rubik's Cube. What's that have to do with church? And I'm sure somebody will probably say that. And they'll speak boldly about that later on. But that's okay. The thing that I want to concentrate on, and I'm not going to be long tonight, is speaking boldly. And if you read what Paul said, what he ought to speak. What do we ought to speak boldly about? We ought to speak boldly about the Word of God. We ought to speak boldly about what the Bible says. And as a preacher, I've prayed that I will speak boldly the things that I ought to speak about what this Bible says, regardless of what you think or what you say. And you say, well, that's the way you should be. Yeah, it's easy to say, but I have your kids in my class, and I speak about what the Bible says, and I speak boldly to them, and it might not be what you like as a parent. And you may be speaking boldly about what I spoke about in a bad way. But you know what? I can't let that deter me from speaking what God's Word says. And as a preacher, I have to speak what God's Word says without worrying about you. And that's a problem with churches today. They don't preach the Word of God because they're afraid of what the congregation is going to say. They're afraid that, you know, well, if I preach about you shouldn't drink alcohol, half my congregation is going to leave because they're all drinking. So we don't ever want to talk about alcohol. So we don't preach about alcohol. Don't preach about smoking cigarettes. Don't preach about doing drugs. Don't preach about watching pornography. Don't preach about anything bad because people will get offended. Well, God forbid you get offended. But you say, well, that doesn't happen in churches today. How many churches do you know Joel Osteen has? How many thousands of people? Does he ever preach against sin? No, he preaches God loves you no matter what. And he does love you no matter what. But as I told the kids today, God loves you no matter what, but he hates the thing that you do. God loves you. All the sin that you do, God still loves you, but he hates the sin. We won't preach against homosexuality. Why? Because we don't want to offend people. And what got me thinking about this message is when the man from Duck Dynasty, I think his name is Phil Robinson, was talking about homosexuals and how it was wrong and all these things. And I was listening to the radio one day, and a guy on a talk radio show who is, I don't know if it makes a difference, but he's a Jewish man. And sometimes when you listen to the talk radio shows about sports, I have to turn it off because they aggravate me about the things that they talk about. And he says, you know what? And he was talking about Pat Robertson. Is that the guy from the 700 Club? And regardless of what you think about him, he's a national guy. Everybody knows him. He says, well, one day when Pat Robertson dies, we won't have to worry about hearing that anymore. We won't have to worry about the bigotry of people talking about homosexuals because we've evolved as a people and we should accept that. So now preachers won't preach against that because people get upset. But it's, according to God, it's an abomination. God does not like sin, regardless of the sin. We've never said in this church that we hate homosexuals. We've never said that we hate drunkards. We never said that we hate drug addicts. We never said that we hate anybody. We hate the sin. We love the people. And that's what God's Word says. We're to love everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved everybody that he sent his Son to die on a cross for all of us. But he still hates the sin. Well, we won't preach that no more because we're afraid. Preachers are afraid to preach because people are going to walk out. And well, if people walk out, they're not going to give money, then how am I going to live? Because you support the preachers. you support the pastors of the church, and if you all leave, I'm out of a job. Not me, because I'm not the pastor of this church. But pastors, that's what they think. They think about, well, this is my job. It's not your job, it's your calling. Your calling is to preach God's word. And you're supposed to stand up, even if you stand on a pew, and you're supposed to proclaim the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. And not worrying about it. But they worry and they say, well, you know, if I do that, my congregation's going to leave. The people that drink, they're going to leave, and they have a lot of money. You know, there's a lot. You know, I can't preach that because I'll lose my church. Well, you're losing your church anyways. Because the church is not filling a building. It's not about filling the building. It's about winning souls to the Lord. It's about preaching God's word. And if we stop doing that, if we stop speaking boldly about the things that God's word says, then we're wrong. And we shouldn't be preachers. We shouldn't be preaching God's word. We shouldn't be proclaiming the things that we proclaim, because we're not speaking. Joel Osteen speaks boldly in front of thousands of people. But is he speaking what he ought to speak? He may be, because I don't know if he's a called man of God. If you're a called man of God, you're going to preach his word. You're going to preach the King James Bible. And that's what we're called to do as preachers. We're called to proclaim Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We're supposed to proclaim him. But can I tell you something? So are you as Christians. We're all supposed to proclaim the cross. We're all supposed to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're all supposed to do that. But as preachers, we get the opportunity to do it in front of people. But you know what? We still have to talk to people one-on-one just like you do. And I was telling Brother Dave the other day, sometimes when I'm wearing my work clothes, I feel like Clark Kent. I feel like, which is weird because Clark Kent always wore a suit, but I feel like Clark Kent because I don't have that. I have more boldness when I'm standing up here preaching in the church as a preacher and wearing a suit. And if I go out and I'm wearing a suit, I think of myself more as a preacher then. And I shouldn't, because I'm a preacher no matter what. But most of all, I'm a Christian no matter what. But when we're in our workplace, we don't have that boldness anymore. I don't have that boldness when I have my work clothes on. It's like I want to pull off my work coat and put on my suit. The opposite of Clark Kent and Superman. That way I can proclaim the gospel. That way I can tell people about Christ without worrying about it. That I can speak boldly to them about it. But I don't do that. And the Lord really has, and as Brother Dave always said, the Lord speaks to us before we preach it to you. The Lord speaks to us about the things that we're not doing and the things that I need to do. I need to be more bold too. And my wife is much better at it than I am. The other day we went to, what is that place we went to eat? Greasy Burger place. Steak and Shake, yes. Greasy Burger place, because it is. And there was people sitting over there. And we were all sitting around eating. And my wife's over there giving them tracks. Amen. Talking to them about church. She had the boldness to go talk to them. I don't have that. And I should. But we all should. No matter who we are. And Brother Dave talks about Brother Mike being able to talk to anybody. He has that boldness to say, hey, you know what? I go to church. He talks about, and he wears that badge. He's not afraid. But we should all have that boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ. To talk about who he is and what he's done for us. We should proclaim what the Bible says. We should be Bible thumpers, as they say. When I used to work, they used to call people Bible thumpers. And I was like, what's a Bible thumper? Well, that's someone who says, you know, this saith the word of God. This is what the Bible says. This is what I believe. But we don't do that. I can't say nothing. They're talking about church and talking about God. I can't say anything bad. You know, I'm at work. Why can't we? The world can say anything they want to say, and we're supposed to accept it. They can say that we're wrong for not accepting homosexuality. We're not wrong. Why are we wrong and they right? But that's what we think nowadays, because we've kowtowed to that. We've decided we're not going to be bold about it anymore. We're not going to preach against sin. We're not going to preach that it's wrong. Now people don't even think it's wrong anymore. They're talking about a football player be the first gay NFL football player. And that was all over the news. And you hear all these people talking, well, it's about time. We've evolved as a society. We've evolved as a society. We've got worse and worse. We haven't gotten better. If we've evolved, we've evolved the wrong way. The Bible still says it's a sin. And we still need to proclaim it as Christians, that it is a sin. Because that's what the Bible says. And sometimes people call up on a talk radio show and say, well, the Bible says this. And they get hang up. They get hung up on right away. Well, don't bring the Bible into it. What do you mean don't bring the Bible into it? That's why we believe what we believe. And that's what I tell people. I believe it because that's what the Bible said. That's what God's Word said, that it's wrong. We need to proclaim that. We need to proclaim what Paul was talking about. And if you look at verse 19, Paul says, "And as for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Did you know that the gospel is a mystery? Not to us, because we're saved. But to the lost world, it is a mystery. Just like the Rubik's Cube is a mystery to me and not to Austin because he can do it in 6 seconds. I could never do that. I won't say never. Maybe when I get to heaven, God will give me the ability to do it. But the gospel is a mystery to the lost world. And we know the secret to the mystery. He knows the secret to the Rubik's Cube. He can explain it to me. He said it may take hours. It may take you hours to explain the gospel to somebody. But you know the mystery. The Bible gives us what it is. It was a mystery in the Old Testament. The Bible says it's a hidden mystery in the Old Testament. It was hidden in the Scriptures. It was hidden. We got it. We understand what the mystery is. We're supposed to, and Paul said, "I want to speak boldly about the mystery of the gospel." Does everybody here know what the gospel is? You say, "Well, yeah, I know what it is." Do you know where it's located in the Bible? And I had to know this because we had class. It's in Romans chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The gospel is Jesus Christ died on the cross, according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Is that right? 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 15. But that's what the gospel is. The gospel is Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Amen. Jesus Christ died for you because you're a sinner. And if you die without Him, you're going to die and go to hell. We don't say that anymore either. We don't talk about hell. Don't say hell in church. We can't do that. People might get upset. You might get upset there is a place you're going to go and burn forever. Well, I'm sorry, but isn't that what you're getting saved from? Isn't that what Christ came down to save us from going to hell, to a place that we deserve? As I was telling the kids today, and I talked about hell today in class. You know what? Surprisingly enough, a young man got saved. Yeah. He didn't get offended by the word hell. Because hell is real. And Paul said, I want to speak boldly about the mystery of the gospel. We can explain to people, and you explain it to people, and they look at you like, "I don't understand. I just don't get it." Christ came down and died for you because you're a sinner. The Bible says, "For all sin to come short of the glory of God." That's what you are. Do you understand you're a sinner? Yeah. Christ came down and died for you. If you accept that, you can go to heaven. I don't understand that. And the world doesn't understand it. We do. We think, and I always think, how is it so hard? Why don't they understand it? What's so hard about it? And I witnessed to a Catholic man a long time ago, and I said, "The Bible says that unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." And you know what he said? He was a Catholic man. He said, "I don't buy that." That was a mystery to him. That's a mystery to Catholic people. The cross and Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ only, is a mystery to them because they preach that you have to do all kinds of other things. It's a mystery. We can explain it to them if they would let us, if we'd be bold enough to try to explain it to them. But a lot of times we don't really, we say that, I want to see people saved and I want to witness to them, but do we really have enough boldness to do that and say, "Hey, look, if you die without Christ, you're going to die and go to hell"? That's what the Bible says. We need to have boldness to do that. There's all kinds of religious people that are going to die and go to hell because it's a mystery. The gospel is a mystery. It's a mystery to them because they don't understand it. They don't understand what it is that we have. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, verse 1. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians verse 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." When you preach the cross of Christ and when you preach the gospel to the lost world, it's foolishness. It's foolishness for us to be at church tonight, according to the world, because they don't understand why we're here. They don't understand why we don't do the things that we don't do and why we do the things that we do. It's a mystery to them. They don't get it. The world doesn't understand why we go knock on doors. Why we go and we tell people about Christ? Why we come to church? I told people before I go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and they're like, are you crazy? What do you go to church all that time for? I said, because that's what the Bible says. I want to learn about God, and I like going to church. I enjoy church. They look at you like, you're a little funny. You enjoy church that much, you would go three times? Yeah. And when we have a revival, I'll be there then too, every day. I enjoy church. I love listening to preaching. The lost world, they don't understand. The world doesn't understand that. Even people that go to church don't understand it. And as Billy was singing that song and what he was singing about, it's a mystery to people. How can you go through what you go through and still say God is so good? I don't get that. You're going through a hard time and you've got all these problems. How is God good? They don't get it because it's a mystery to them. But to us, we understand it. We got it. But you know how we got it? We got it because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The Bible says that the Spirit teaches us all things. Yep. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't know anything. Billy wouldn't be able to sing that song. Oh, he could sing it. He could sing the words, but he couldn't sing it with meaning. But because he has the Holy Spirit and he knows, he's figured out the mystery. Just like Austin figured out the mystery of the Rubik's Cube. He can go tell people about it because he knows it. We can be bold and tell people, hey, you know what? I know the mystery of the gospel. I know how you can get to heaven. I know how you can avoid hell because I got it right here. Let me show you. But we're afraid because boldly is speaking without hesitation, not worrying about danger or not worrying about rebuff. Rebuff means about someone saying, hey, I don't want to hear it. We worry about that. We're afraid of that. That's why we don't speak boldly. But why are we afraid of someone saying, I don't want to hear about the gospel? Okay? Then I won't tell you about the gospel. That's all you got to do. But it, for some reason, it's so hard to do. It's hard to do for preachers, too. Everyone thinks, well, you're a preacher. You should be able to do it easy. You should be able to talk to anybody. Sorry, can't. Just being honest. It's hard to tell someone, hey, you know what? If you die today, you're going to die and go to hell and burn forever. When you look that person in the eye, I can say that here because most of you are, I think all of you are saved. Except for Austin because he knows how to do a Rubik's Cube. I'm just kidding. But we can say that to other Christians. We can talk about it to other Christians. We have boldness then, but do we have boldness to talk to the lost people? Do you have boldness to talk to your people at work to say, hey, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you believe in God? Do you know what the Bible says about hell? Something. Figure out a way to start a conversation with them. Now, don't do it if you're going to lose your job. And don't do it on company time, because that's not right, because you could lose your job that way. But find a time to speak to someone and say, hey, you know what? My wife's good for this too, giving out tracts. I have this tract, so it's got life. Do you know what that means? And then you can explain it to them. And I was so proud of myself because I did what I'm supposed to do. As Brother Dave, as someone said the other day, you know, we always get on, well, you don't go sowing, you don't go sowing, and then one time you do go out, you're like, man, that was great. I did that. Not during soul winning, but I had a track and I had my suit on, I had my cape on. And I went to Walgreens, and I said, you know what? I determined before I went in, I was gonna give the person behind the counter a track and I was gonna witness to him. Sometimes I say that and I don't do it because I chicken out. And I'm sure we all do that. I'm going to witness that person. I don't know. And you walk away. But I did. I said, hey, I said, I want to give you this track. And we started talking and I witnessed to him. And nobody came around. And he was behind the counter working. And he didn't get saved that day. He didn't say, okay, well, I'll accept the Lord. You know, sometimes people don't get saved. Sometimes they don't accept the Lord right then. But I did witness to him. And he kept the track. And I said, you know, and I wrote down my number. I said, I want you to call me if you have any questions. He didn't call me. But, man, I was so proud of myself. I was like, ooh, yeah. That's right, I did it. But that was once in how many times? Why can't we have that boldness all the time to at least say, here, I want to give you this? Why can't we have that boldness to tell somebody, explain to somebody what the mystery is that they don't know? Because we all think, we know what it is, so we all think, well, it's easy, man. People know about Christ. Jesus Christ is preached all the time. People should know. They should be saved. But you know what? People really don't understand salvation. They don't really understand its simplicity. Christ died for you. That's the end of the story. All you've got to do is accept that fact that He died for you and ask Him to save you, and you get to go to heaven. It's not that hard, but it is such a mysterious thing to people. But we understand what it is. And I've prayed that God will give me more boldness to speak to people, even in my work clothes, even when I'm not wearing my suit. Wherever I go, to bring up a conversation. Brother Dave was telling me the other day that, you know, usually if you go somewhere with a preacher, always talks to people. You know, like his big thing is on an elevator. Hey, you know, the elevator's going down, but I'm going up. Which way are you going? I'm going to be in heaven one day. And he has boldness to start a conversation with people. And people may, you know, I don't know what people say when they, you know, but he has the boldness to at least bring it up. But do we have that boldness to even bring that up, to even say something silly? No, we're afraid. We're afraid of, man, I don't know what they're going to say. What are they going to say to you? But say, shut up. I've had people tell me to be quiet before. I went to witness to somebody and they're like, you get away from me. I don't want to hear nothing from you. It's okay. And I kept on walking. Really not that big of a deal. Back in Paul's day, they were getting beheaded for preaching the gospel. That's why he prayed for boldness, because they were going to get killed. So he had to pray for boldness. What are we going to get? A door slammed in your face? Cussed out? I'm sure we've all had that done before. Someone not answer the door when you go knock on it? I used to hide from people. They'd come knock on the door. I'm like, get away from the window. Hopefully they didn't see me, and you sneak back to your room. Whew, man, I'm glad they didn't see me. I've done it. I was telling the kids the other day, we went on visitation, we were walking around, and some guy was cooking out on the grill. We were on this side of the street. By the time we got to that side of the street, a few minutes later, he was gone. So we went and knocked on the door. Could still smell the food. Just took it off the grill. Knocked on the door. Funny thing is, nobody answered. What do? Leave a track and you go on your way. But we need to have that boldness that Paul is talking about. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for deacons. It's not just for adults. It's for everybody, every Christian. Because the Bible says to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's commanded to everybody. Do you have that boldness to do that? Because you have the key to the mystery. You can unlock that door for somebody to say, hey, you know what? Can I talk to you for a minute? And the person that you're talking to can say, hey, I get it. Yeah, I'll accept Christ. And it might only be you that can open that door for them. You might be the one that has the key to them getting saved. And only you. But if you don't have boldness to say, hey, let me help you, they're never going to get saved. Because the lost world isn't going to save them. The liberal churches aren't going to save them because they don't preach the gospel. The NIV people aren't going to save them because you can't get saved outside of the Word of God. The King James Bible. We are the ones that have the truth. We're the ones that know the mystery. We're the ones that can get them saved. We're the ones that need the boldness to talk to them. You don't have to preach to them. You don't have to get up. You don't have to get up in your workplace and say, hey, you're all going to go to hell. See, I can get loud if I want. We don't have to do it that way. You can have boldness and say, hey, Colton, can I talk to you for a minute? You don't have to be loud. But that's still being bold. Being bold isn't being loud. Being bold is having the courage to confront somebody and say, hey, can I talk to you about Christ? Can I talk to you about your eternal soul? Not worrying what they're going to say back to you. Not worrying that they may say, you know what, get away from me, you weirdo, you Bible thumper. You know what you do? You say, okay. But if you ever want to talk, you know where I'm at. It's really, really not that big of a deal to get called a couple of names. But we are so afraid of telling people about Christ. We're so afraid, and I'm right with you. I'm not saying that I'm not, because I am. Because I have that same fear. I have that same problem. I don't do it either. And I need to. But we all need to. Because as they sang that song the other night, one day it's going to be too late. One day it's going to be too late for somebody that you didn't witness to. One day it's going to be too late, because there may be a day that you can't witness to somebody. There was a man that lived by me that I never witnessed to. He died in his sleep one night. And I was broken up over that for a while. But you know what? It passed. Still don't go talk to people like I should. But I cried because I didn't witness to that man. And I could have showed him, or at least attempted it. He could have said, "Get away from me. I don't want to talk to you about that." But I didn't even try, because I was afraid. Now one day, when we stand at the white throne of judgment, we're not going to be there. He's going to be there. But I believe we're going to see the people that are there. And he may look at me and say, all you had to do was come talk to me. We talked before. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you give me the opportunity to say no? His blood's going to be on my hands. I don't want to have that feeling. But it's so easily put behind us. It's so easily forgotten about. And I'm guilty of it too. We don't look at people as lost people dying and going to hell. And I don't know if it's because we don't believe that hell is real, but hell is real. But when we look at people, do we look at them as he's going to die and go to hell if he doesn't have Christ? She's going to die and go to hell if she doesn't have Christ. We don't look at people that way. And we need to, because they are going to die and go to hell without Christ. We have the answer. We have the key to the mystery right here. God revealed it to us, to the saved people, to his children. He gave us the ability to say, hey, all you have to do is accept Christ. He did all of the work. He paid for all your sin. Just accept him. It's all you got to do. And you'll get to go to heaven. It's not that hard. Why don't we do it? My prayer has been lately that God will give me boldness to speak the things that I ought to speak. Give me boldness as a preacher to preach the things I ought to preach, but also to give me boldness as a Christian to talk to people about the mystery of the gospel, about Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'll get that same feeling, that God will help you have the boldness to do that also. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord, and I do thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. I thank you for giving us the key to the mystery of the gospel, Lord, and I thank you for my salvation, Lord, and someone talked to me about it years and years ago, Lord. I pray that I'll be able to speak to people more boldly about the gospel, Lord, and I ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together, please. I believe everyone in here is saved tonight. I don't think I see anybody that's not saved, but I'm still going to ask. If you do not know 100% sure that you're going to heaven, I must then assume that you're going to hell. The Bible says that you can know. It's not a think, it's not a hope, it's a knowledge. You know that you have eternal life. If you do not know that, then I would like to invite you to come and find out. I'd like to invite you to come and get that mystery settled tonight. The great thing about that mystery is it can be answered. It can be answered with a few short verses in this Bible. It can be answered with just a little bit of explanation. Yet the whole world walks around daily not knowing the mystery, not knowing the answer to the mystery. And it's because folks like us are selfish or afraid. I'm right with Brother Bobby. I need more boldness. And I think we all do. This world's dying and going to hell. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's people that are walking this earth that it's going to be too late for, and it's going to be our fault. Probably already are people that it's too late for. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much that you still allow us to walk this earth. Lord, you could have taken us home a long time ago for lack of production. But Lord, we're still here. There's something still for us. Lord, let us take that gift that you've given us and let us spread it so far and so wide and to so many people Let us be bold enough to show folks about the mystery, that blessed promise that we hold so dear. Let us be more than willing to talk to folks about it. And Lord, if there's one in here that doesn't know you as Savior tonight, let them find their way to this altar. Oh God, please let them find their way to this altar. And let them ask you to save them, just like you saved me, just like you saved Brother Bobby, just like you saved all the folks in here that know you. You unlocked that mystery for us. Lord, let them get that mystery unlocked too. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother John, what are we singing?